Hello, Jitendra. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. This is Yarrow from entrepreneurs-journey.com. I've got your questions. Thank you for sending them through. I've read over them. You've certainly asked a variety of different types of questions, and I'll do my best to answer them, although some of them are not areas I focus on. So I'll give you the answers I have for you. Just for those people who don't know who I am, I am a blogger. I've been blogging at Entrepreneur's Journey since 2005 in January when I registered that domain name. And I basically talk about entrepreneurship. So I've been writing about myself as an entrepreneur and interview other entrepreneurs in my podcast. And I've covered all kinds of subjects, things from buying and selling websites for passive income, growing a profitable blog, selling information and training products. These are all things I've done myself. I've also had a proofreading business, a card game, e-commerce store, an English school in the real world, all subjects I covered on my blog during the early years as well. But today I predominantly teach people how to make money using the combination of a blog, an email newsletter, and selling some kind of information product from those two platforms. Okay, on to your questions. Number one, you asked me, without knowing much about technology, how can I launch an online service platform? The thing I would do is get used to blogging. WordPress.org or even WordPress.com as a basic starting point. You can have a blog set up there in a matter of minutes. If you're not sure how to set up a blog, you can go to YouTube and do a Google search for how to set up WordPress. A YouTube search, not a Google search, and you'll find videos there on how to install WordPress and get it up on your own domain name with hosting. And that's basically all you need to get started. It's a place where you can publish content, you can even charge money for services, you know, use PayPal to take the payment, and it's pretty much all you need. You can certainly expand beyond it, but it is a basic platform that is as easy to use as using email. So if you know how to use email, you can use WordPress to publish content and sell things and build an audience on the internet. Your second question, how can I turn price-sensitive shoppers into customers? I'm a big fan of offering a free trial. One of the common upsells I use in my promotions when I sell my front-end guides on how to do things is to actually offer a one-month trial of my subscription product, which is an interviews product, interviews with other internet marketing entrepreneurs who've made a lot of money from the internet. So it's a six-month subscription that they get new interviews on a regular basis, but if they just want to try it, it's a free month for the trial period if they take that free month during the process of buying one of my e-guides. So that's a great way to essentially give them an option that really is, there's no loss. They can try it. If they don't like it, they can cancel. If they do like it, then they know what they're getting and they can keep paying for it. So I really think that sort of free trial is a great way to deal with price-sensitive shoppers. Obviously, having some kind of guarantee, a risk reversal, as it's known in the copywriting world, is where you say there is no risk because you can get your money back if you don't like this product. Just send me an email or give whatever instructions you want them to give, and then you can refund their product. So that is, I think, the best combination, a very easy thing to say yes to, plus a risk reversal that takes away any of the risk, and you've got something that works well on price-sensitive shoppers. Your third question, how can I grow my home-based business? Well, that's a very broad question, but for me, the obvious answer is to start a blog. I'm going to stick to the thing I'm known for the most. So if you're looking to reach a new audience, if you're looking to demonstrate your expertise, if you're looking to find new customers, if you're looking to create a platform where people can get to know you and start to see you as an expert in an area, a blog can do all of those things, and of course it can be managed and run from your home. In fact, I run my blog from cafes all around the world. Presently, I live in Melbourne, and that's where I do most of my writing and publishing on my blog. It's in cafes, in libraries, and wherever I decide to pull out the laptop and do some writing. So blogging is a fantastic home-based business opportunity, and it's something that you can add to any existing home-based business as well. I don't know any sort of business that would not benefit from a blog. It is by far one of the best internet marketing tools we have available as entrepreneurs. So that's my tip for that one. Number four, you ask me, how can I pitch my product to large companies? Well, I've never approached the really large companies for what I do because I really deal with the individual entrepreneurs more as my client base. However, I have in the past run businesses that did need to reach out to more corporate style companies. And my experience, especially as I've spoken to more people who do sell in the B2B world, business to business, it's more about relationships and less about pitching in the sense of not doing a hard sell, instead attending events where the right people will be, basically making friends and forming relationships that aren't about trying to sell something to someone, but people do understand and know what you are representing. So you're not hard selling, but they understand you do run a business, you do have a product for sale, you are good at something. So when the need arises for those things, people think about you and then tap you on the shoulder. So that way you don't have to pitch. So the most important thing is getting those connections, meeting the right people. So that's what I would do. Identify who you should know at a company you're trying to reach, and then find a way to enter the social circle or the networking circle around that person if you can. And that's the best path. Next question. What are some good business books to read? I'm a big fan of books about internet companies that I admire. I really recommend you read about any of the companies you respect, anything that you think has a similar aspect to what you're trying to do with your company. So during my early days when I was getting started on the internet as an entrepreneur, even before I was a blogger, I read books about how did eBay get started? How did PayPal get started? How did Google start? I read about the story behind Napster. I even read a little bit about companies outside of the internet that I was just interested in. Companies like Starbucks, like Cadbury Chocolate. These are all things I'm interested in. They're entrepreneurial stories. So you hear about how the company got started. You hear who the founder was, what they did to get the company going. And for me, those are always the most motivational stories and books to read when it's got to do with business, of course. And it's very, very relevant. It's probably the best form of learning I think there is out there, is to study someone who's gone through what you're trying to do and built something that you admire. So I would look for books from founders. Next question, how can I fund a new business idea without crowdfunding? Well, I'm a big fan of bootstrapping. Nearly every business I've had has been, actually, every business I have has pretty much been self-funded. I haven't crowdfunded, I haven't got investors, I haven't gone to the bank to get a loan. I've pretty much just used my own money. Occasionally, I put in some money from, my own job. If I had a casual job and I used a bit of that money to get the website set up, for example. I really think this is something that everyone can do, especially if you study things like the Lean Startup. That's a good book to read, so you can learn about testing and going after customers straight away, so you have cash flow straight away, early days, and then you can self-fund. Of course, it really does depend on the scale of your idea, what you're trying to do. Some businesses just demand capital up front, so you may need to find another way to fund what you're doing. Obviously you've got the options of, friends, fools, and something else, which just basically means your friends and your family. I think that's it, friends, fools, and family. And you can ask them for money, but I personally don't think you need to do that. I would look to establish some sort of cash flow business or even work a job and use that money to then get started. Crowdfunding is great, but it, it's not for everyone. Next question. How should we divide equity among co-founders? Well, I only ever had one startup where I actually had an equity arrangement that was specified before the company was started. I have had another partnership with my good friend Gideon Shalwick, where we basically launched a training product, but we were always 50-50 owners of that one. And it just made sense to be that way because there's two of us and we were both bringing something to the table and we both grew the business. So eventually we sort of went our separate ways with that company, but we always had that as the situation. With a startup I had over 2011 and 2012, Cranky Ads, I had two partners, and we did talk about how to do the equity split. But to be honest, a lot of it's not ambiguous, but you're not exactly sure where your company is going to go. So all you really can do is think about, all right, who's doing what? How many hours are involved? How critical is your role? How much do you want to be involved? And then talk it out. So, you know, often in this situation, it's more important to be clear and state what you want and where you're coming from and what you expect to do and what others should expect from you, and then work out the equity from that. I'm a big fan, though, of testing the idea first, and then when you get traction, the equity situation needs to be more concrete then, because you're going to get customers, you're getting cash flow, you're going to start bringing on more employees. And if that happened to me, I would go straight to the people who know about it. I wouldn't trust myself. I haven't built a company that's had employees with equity, so, you know, it's not my strong point. I would definitely get mentoring on that. So you probably shouldn't be listening to me for that question. It's not my strong point. Next one, if you build your site with WordPress, what plugins should you install? Well, I think the only real mandatory plugin I think you need is something to do with SEO. And I've been using Yoast on my blog, which is Yoast. They have an SEO plugin that allows me to control the search engine optimization aspects of my WordPress blog. The rest of them, you know, they're all optional. There's some great things that help you do things. I have a podcast, so I use the Blueberry PowerPress plugin to run that. I have, some social media plugins. So I like to have people share my content in social media. So I use the WP Socializer plugin, which puts like buttons and tweet buttons on all my blog posts. I have VaultPress going, which is a backup service for my blog. So it's backed up externally. I have the Rebel Mouse widget, which connects to the Rebel Mouse service, which actually is really cool. It's worth checking out. It creates a social media style page that looks a bit like Pinterest. And if you want to see it in action, you can go to my blog at entrepreneurs-journey.com and just click the social button in my navigation bar. And you'll see this really cool page pop up that has all the different things I've been doing on social media, but existing within my blog frame, which I think is, you know, pretty cool and very, very much, you know, cutting edge. So Rebel Mouse is the plugin for that one. There's just a few you can check out. None of them are mandatory, as I said, but, you know, it really depends on what you're trying to do. And you can go looking for plugins to solve any kind of problem. Next question. What email management tool should you use? Well, I've only ever used three different services. My first one was One Shopping Cart. My first one was Aweber, and then switched to One Shopping Cart for a while, but ended up using Aweber still for the email and used One Shopping Cart for the shopping cart. And then today, I'm no longer with any of those. I'm with Entreport, or also known as Office Autopilot. That being said, Entreport is $300 a month, so it's not really an entry-level service. They do have an entry-level service called SendPepper. But if you really are just getting started, I would recommend Aweber as the email management tool. It served me well for 8 years. I had a multiple six-figure business just based on my blog and my Aweber newsletter, so I definitely recommend it's a great tool. Next one, how do you improve your email subscription rates? Well, there's a lot you can do, but the most important thing is make sure you actually ask people to join your newsletter and give them a really good incentive to do so. For me, I've done really well because I have some great free reports that I give people as a reward for joining my newsletter. And that's predominantly what drives all of my opt-ins. And of course, I have opt-ins on my blog. I have a pop-up when they leave my blog. I have dedicated landing pages just for my reports that affiliates can send traffic to. So it's really about having a good incentive and asking for people to subscribe to your newsletter many, many times. That's the key. Are there any LinkedIn tools that can help? I don't know if you're saying, are there any LinkedIn tools that can help with email subscriptions or just in general? Either way, LinkedIn is not something I make much use of. I do have an account, but I don't really do much more than just have it sitting there so people can find me. So I'm not a big LinkedIn user. Can't really give you any advice on that one. Next question, how do I measure the return on my social media investment? Well, I think one of the best ways is to at least initially check in your Google Analytics to see, are you getting traffic from Facebook? Are you getting traffic from Twitter? Are you getting traffic from LinkedIn? Are these sites showing up on your referrals? That's step one. It's showing you traffic. Ideally, though, you should be able to look all the way from the traffic to sales of your product as well. That's, you know, the key here if we're talking about running a business. So tracking those things is the most important thing. Tracking referrals, tracking sales, that can show you, I have this many people coming from Facebook, this many of them maybe opting into my newsletter, and this many people are then buying my products. That's definitely the best way to measure your social media return on investment. But from a simple point of view, you know, you can always look at how many shares you're getting, how many likes are you getting, how many retweets you're getting, how many followers do you have. Those sorts of things are at least a step one. Next question, what are Twitter lists? How and why should you use them? Well, I actually don't use Twitter lists. What they are is a way to separate certain groups of people into similar categories. So I could have a Twitter list of all the tennis players I follow. I could have a Twitter list of all the people in the music I like who I follow, as well as all the bloggers that I follow. So it's certainly a great way to, I guess, really segment your following in Twitter. And that's how I would use it. But I'm not actually a prolific follower of people. So I just have the one main Twitter window, usually on my mobile phone, to be honest, and that's where I follow things. But Twitter is not a big marketing tool for me. I use it more as a sort of fun conversational tool. I can keep up to date with what people I like are doing. I also share my content there and interact with a few people. I make some sales from Twitter as well, but I'm not proactively marketing it nearly as much as I do with email and my blog. Really, I see it as a tool to make sure I'm on a popular service and to bring people back to my blog. Next question. Do people need to spend money, for example, pay-per-click paid advertising, to make money with affiliate marketing? Well, it's funny how you connected affiliate marketing with paying for traffic. You don't have to. I mean, I've made money from affiliate marketing for years and I've never bought traffic in my life. I did buy some traffic for, I should clarify that, I never bought traffic for my current blogging business. I did buy a little bit of traffic from my old proofreading business back in the day, in the early 2000s, but that wasn't affiliate marketing. Affiliate marketing, you know, you can be a pure affiliate marketer without or with paid advertising. It really depends on what you want to get good at. I got good at blogging. I do a review on my blog. I send the review to my newsletter. I make sales of affiliate products. You know, I recommend free things that lead to affiliate sales. I do that with my blog and my newsletter. I don't buy anything with paid traffic. But I do know some people who make a ton of money using Google AdWords, using Facebook ads, using ads in newsletters, buying ads on other sites, using banners and so forth, just to sell affiliate products. And they make a ton of money, way more than I do. So it's worth looking at both avenues. What I believe is the more important question is, what do you want to get good at? So have a really good think about what's your strategy, what's your strong point. If paid advertising is going to be part of the equation, then by all means use it. If you'd rather be writing a blog, then get good at blogging. That's the question to ask yourself. Second last question. Why is budgeting very important in affiliate marketing? Well, I guess you're referring to the relationship between spending money and then making sales with affiliate marketing. So again, I don't buy traffic for affiliate marketing, so I can't really answer this question. I'm not quite sure if I'm even understanding the question correct. I definitely think if you're going to spend money on paid advertising, you want to make sure you're tracking your results, because you can spend a bunch of money buying a bunch of ads and see no sales in return. Obviously, that's not going to last very long because you're going to go broke. So, you know, you want to set aside some money for learning and potentially to not make a return on, but that can't be too much and that can't be for too long. You have to be getting closer to at least breaking even and hopefully then making a profit. And last question. The trick to good affiliate partnership is finding quality marketers. What are the best tricks to find it? I think you're asking me there how to find good people to act as affiliates to sell your products, which I definitely agree can be very, very helpful. I've made a lot of money for other people by selling their products over the years, and I've had some other bloggers and internet marketers make a lot of sales of my training products over the years too. So it can be a great relationship building tool that helps both people involved make money. It can also help you reach new audiences, get your name out there to new people. Again, sort of like the way I answered your question about reaching big companies, I think it's the same answer. You need to do your networking. You need to make relationships happen with the people who are relevant to what you sell, what your company is about. So I would recommend, just as I've done in the past, you know, you need to have conversations in real life. You need to get people onto Skype and have chats. I think interviewing people is a great way. If you can get someone on a podcast and have a chat with them there, interview them, help them. I mean, ultimately, the best way to get an affiliate partner is actually help their business, either make them some money, get them some traffic, solve a problem in their business, help them get exposure. If you become someone of value to them, then they're indebted to you. And reciprocation is a pretty powerful force for human beings. So, you know, nowadays I do very few affiliate promotions, but most of the time I do that because I like the person, I know them well, or I know their product sells well already because I've promoted it in the past. That's pretty much the only time I do affiliate promotions. But ultimately, you know, if you're looking to get people to promote your product, one of the most important things is to actually have a product that converts. So I would work on conversion before I'd work on getting affiliate partners. When you're confident about conversion, then you can start looking at convincing people to promote your products for you. Okay, Jitendra, thank you for your questions. I hope that gives you something you can work with for your blog. Thank you for everyone who's listened to this interview. My name is Yaro, Y-A-R-O. You can Google my name to find my blog and all my other work, my podcast and my YouTube channel. And you can just go to entrepreneurs-journey.com to find my blog as well. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.